Thank you, Ganesh, and dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam. Today is a lovely Thursday, and after Vedam, it is time for bhajans. In fact, just today we received a very beautiful mail by a listener, my name Priya Sujit, who expressed her deep sense of happiness and gratitude for the bhajan that we had in the bhajan classroom program. At this hour, last week, it was Sai Ram Gaye Geet Sada Subha Aur Sham. And that bhajan really took her back to her days when she had a very memorable experience with Bhagwan. And we were so happy to read her email. And you know, it feels so nice when you know that a program was of help to someone. You know, you just thank Swami for the opportunity. And so in that spirit, dear listeners, please feel free to share with us your comments, your feedback, and your suggestions to make this program better. So let's move on. Today we have a bhajan adoring our sweet Lord Ganesha. And without taking any more time, so let's begin the bhajan classroom for this Thursday. I'm Team Ready Sai Bishu, and it's time for bhajan tutor.
Let us first offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we are blessed with hearts like that of Buddha, full of compassion, and heads like that of Shankara, always discriminating between right and wrong, good and bad. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The first line of the bhajan we will be learning today goes like this.
Mahaganapate namostute.
Yes, this is a Ganesha bhajan, and let's become familiar with the lyrics to begin with, and then we'll move on and learn its tune, the raga, the tala, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to what Bhagwan has told his students about bhajan singing. So all this in store for you in this bhajan classroom, and let's get started with the lyrics.
Maha Ganapate Namostute Matanga Vadana Namostute Adi Pujita Gananatha Ananda Dayaka Gananatha Prathama Vandana Pranavakara Vigneshwara Vinayaka.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on and learn how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. Please join him, dear listeners, so that you can grasp the tune of this bhajan easily.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham. Mahaganapate namostute.
Mahaganapate namostute.
Mahaganapate namostute.
Mahaganapate namostute.
Matanga vadana namostute.
Matanga vadana namostute.
Matanga vadana namostute.
Matanga vadana namostute.
Mahaganapate namostute.
Mahaganapate నమోస్తుతే
ఆది పూజిత గణనాథ
ఆది పూజిత గణనాథ
ఆది పూజిత గణనాథ
ఆది పూజిత గణనాథ
ఆనందదాయక గణనాథ
ఆనందదాయక గణనాథ
ఆనందదాయక గణనాథ
ఆనందదాయక గణనాథ
ప్రథమ వందన ప్రణవాకార
ప్రథమ వందన ప్రణవాకార
ప్రథమ వందన ప్రణవాకార
ప్రథమ వందన ప్రణవాకార
విఘ్నేశ్వర వినాయక
విఘ్నేశ్వర వినాయక
విఘ్నేశ్వర వినాయక
విఘ్నేశ్వర వినాయక
మహాగణపతి నమోస్తుతే
So you heard the tune of this bhajan in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let's learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. Anirudh, if you can tell us in which raga this bhajan belongs and what are the swaras that make this bhajan, it would be nice. Please go on, Anirudh.
Saram Vishu, this bhajan is based on the raga Hamsadhwani. It's a very popular rag and I think most of the listeners would have heard this rag in many bhajans. There are many bhajans in this raga.
Yes.
And especially this raga is considered as a beginning raga in the concerts.
It's the raga of all auspicious beginnings.
Yeah.
In every concert.
So,
yes.
You have that very famous composition. Vata peganapatim bhajeham. So, it is in Hamsadhwani Raga. Mm.
So, you have really many bhajans dedicated to Lord Ganesha in this Raga.
Yes, definitely we have.
Okay.
And we have bhajans in other deities also.
Okay.
So, let me tell you about the Hamsadhwani Raga.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Arohana, you have Sa Re Re is Shuddh. Ga Ga is Shuddh. Pa Ni. Ni is also Shuddh.
Yes.
Sa. Sa. Ni. Pa. Ga. Re. Sa.
So these are the notes of the rag.
So there is no dha.
No dha. No ma.
No komal notes.
So
no ma.
It is not a sampurna raga where you have all the seven notes.
Yes. Wonderful. Anirudh, please, if you can do a small alap.
Yeah, sure. Ha ra ra
So can we go on with this bhajan now, Anirudh? Arvind Sai is here to follow the swaras after each line.
Sure.
Mahaganapate namostute Gaga pare re ga sa ga pa sa ni ni pa
Gaga pare re ga sa ga pa sa ni ni pa
Matanga vadana namostute Pa ni sa ga ri sa ni pa sa ni pa ga ga pa ni pa ga ri sa
Pa ni sa ga ri sa ni pa sa ni pa ga ga pa ni pa ga ri sa
Mahaganapate namostute Ga ga pa re re ga sa Ga pa sa ni ni pa
Ga ga pa re re ga sa Ga pa sa ni ni pa
Adi pujita gananatha
And in this line, there's a small deviation.
Okay.
One swara is just added, which is dha in the
okay.
variation.
Yes.
So, it is
Pa 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 da pa ga La la la.
Yes.
If it is in Hamsa Dhwani, it should have been
Pa 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 ni pa ga.
Yes.
Small division.
Pa 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 da pa ga Ga pa sa ni ni pa
Pa pa pa pa da pa ga Ga pa sa ni ni pa
Anandadayaka gananatha Sa 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 ni sa pa sa
Sa sa sa sa sa sa ni sa pa sa
Anandadayaka ga pa sa 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 ni sa pa sa
ga pa sa 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 Nisa Pasa
Prathama Vandana Pranavakara Niri Gari Sasa Nisa Papa Nisari Gari
Niri Gari Sasa Nisa Papa Nisari Gari
Vigneshwara Vinayaka Sa 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 ni re sa ni pa ga ga pa sa sa ni ga pa ga ri sa
Sa sa sa ni re sa ni pa ga ga pa sa sa ni ga pa ga ri sa
I think that is nice. This raga gives such a refreshing feeling.
Yeah, very pleasant.
Very pleasant. Beautiful. And Anirudh, you were saying that there are many Ganesh bhajans. So maybe you can share with our listeners some other bhajans, Ganesh bhajans, as well as bhajans dedicated to other deities.
Yeah, in Hamsa Dhwani, I think,
Vinayaka, Vinayaka. Vighna Vinashaka Vinayaka
It's a perfect Hamsa Dhwani bhajan.
Yes.
And apart from Vinayaka, I think you have
Jayatu Shiva Natana Shiva
Anything comes to your mind, Arvind Sai?
Yeah, this bhajan on Krishna. Jayanandalala
yeah. Jayanandalala
Okay, I think that gives a feel of other bhajans in this raga. Can we move on now to the beat?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is a regular 8 beat, Aditalam.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mahaganapate namostute
Mahaganapate namostute
మాతంగ వదనా నమోస్తుతే మాతంగ వదనా నమోస్తుతే
అండ్ ఇట్ గోస్ లైక్ దట్
So I think with that we've got some idea at least of this raga and the tala. Thank you so much Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you Bishu.
Sairam. So we are now done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. Let's now move on to the vital aspect of bhajan singing, bhava. Cultivating the feeling with which we must sing, not only this bhajan, any bhajan for that matter. And to develop this feeling, we have to know what the bhajan conveys. So let's begin by understanding what each word in this line conveys. We begin with the first line.
Mahaganapate namostute.
The first word here is Mahaganapate, coming from Maha, Gana and Pate. Maha means great. Gana refers to a group of celestial beings who are the attendants of Lord Shiva and also constitute his army. The other word Pate means Lord or Master. It is quite interesting that Ganesha, even as a little child, was chosen as the master of this powerful army of Lord Shiva. Now, how did this happen? On the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi in 1984, Bhagwan revealed Ganapati, who is endowed with supreme intelligence, was chosen by Lord Shiva as the leader of the Ganas because of his all-encompassing understanding of the nature of the divine. He himself subjected to a test and prove to the world his intelligence. And most of us are familiar with the story of how Ganesha or Ganapati was successful in this test, how in the competition between himself and his brother Kartikeya to see who will tour the world faster, Ganesha won because he just made 3 circumambulations around his parents. Lord Shiva was immensely pleased and said, "Since you have a keen intellect, Ganesha, you shall be the master of the Ganas." And thus, Ganesha became the lord of the celestial army of Ganas. While that is the legend, Baba says that the deeper significance of Ganas is that they represent our 5 organs of action and 5 organs of perception, along with the mind and the intellect. Thus, Ganapati means lord of the intellect and higher knowledge, and in this sense he exists within each one of us. He indeed is the lord of our sensory faculties. It is for this reason that we need his blessings to be successful in any endeavor. Moving on, the other word in this line is Namostute, derived from Namaha meaning salutation, Astu meaning be, and Te meaning you. Thus, Namostute means I salute you. I offer my respects to you. So in this line, Mahaganapate Namostute, we offer our loving obeisance to the one who is the lord of the Ganas, the master of our senses, our mind and our intellect. Let's move on to the second line.
Matanga vadana namostute.
The first word here is matanga, meaning elephant. Vadana means face. There are many legends explaining how Ganesha got the face of an elephant, but why was the elephant face chosen? Explaining the inner significance, Baba says that once an elephant passes through a thickly wooded area in a jungle, it automatically creates a wide clearing, providing easy passage for all the other animals. Moreover, since Ganesha is always worshipped as a remover of all obstacles, both material and spiritual, it is only apt that he is envisioned as the elephant-faced one. Baba further explains and says, the elephant is proverbially the most intelligent among the mammals and it is vegetarian, indicating its sattvic nature. The elephant head indicates the intelligence through which hurdles in the path of achievement, be it secular or spiritual, can be overcome. So in this line, Matanga Vadana Namostute, we bow to the Lord who is the benign, elephant-faced divine being, divine deity. Let's move on to the third line.
Mahaganapate Namostute.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. Let us dwell a little deeper into the word Namostute. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, the traditional way of greeting another person while saying Namostute or Namaste is to bring both the palms together in front of the chest and bow the head gently. When we greet one another in this way, it means may our minds meet. Bowing down the head is a way of expressing love, respect and humility. It acknowledges the fact that the divinity in me or you is the same in all. And this greeting applies to everyone, whether those younger than us, of our own age or older, or friends or even strangers. Now, how did this practice originate? Well, here is an interesting story. There was an ashram in the Himalayas where a great sage and his disciples lived. The disciples respected the sage not only for his knowledge but also for his love and kindness towards all. Owing to his kind nature, many times he ended up accepting disciples who were spiritually immature, and this resulted in silly misunderstandings and quarrels among some of his disciples. And this disturbed the peace and the tranquility of the hermitage. Now the sage was very disturbed, but his compassion prevented him from throwing anyone out of the ashram. Instead, he sincerely prayed to God for a solution. After days of intense meditation and prayer, he had a vision of the divine. And when God asked him why he was sad, he explained everything and requested the Lord to come to the ashram and free the minds of his disciples from jealousy, anger and hatred. The Lord agreed and said that he would come to the ashram but on one condition. He would come in disguise as one of the disciples and no one would know who was God. So the sage returned to the ashram and announced his vision to his disciples about God's decision to come as one of them. Now the disciples were very happy, but they did not know in whose form God would come. And so they became very gentle and considerate towards one another, thinking that the other disciple might be God himself in disguise. And they went on to live in this manner, each one not wanting to hurt the other or abusing the other, because who knows, maybe that other person is God in disguise. And so, soon they became very accommodative towards each other. They felt the Lord's blissful presence in their minds. Their minds became pure and the whole ashram reverberated now with blissful positive vibrations. And it is said that everybody started greeting each other, saying Namaste with folded hands, with respect and reverence from this day. It might be very pertinent at this point to recall what Baba did on the evening of March 20th, 2011. Though his physical gesture did send everyone in the Cyclone Hall into a kind of numb shock, in retrospect, it makes so much sense. No gesture of the avatar is small. Every single one is suffused with profound significance for mankind. It was a Sunday, in fact the last Sunday of the physical form of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Bhajans concluded and aarti was offered. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu was being chanted, and even as this was going on, Swami slowly raised his right hand. He was indeed exerting himself beyond his limits of endurance to somehow keep aloft his hand, even for those few seconds. Actually, there was a mild tremor in his hand. It was shaking. And now his other hand also rose, again with Herculean effort. But his left palm was not open and raised like when he blesses with both his hands. The left palm with a lot of struggle joined the right palm. And sitting there, I thought, oh, Swami is supporting his delicate right hand with his left maybe. But then after this, something absolutely unexpected and unprecedented happened. Just when everybody was expecting to see both his open palms raised in blessing, Swami stunned everyone by bringing his palms together and forming the Namaste posture. He did this on the Jin side and then slowly turned to his left and did it again on the lady side. Even as everyone gazed at Swami totally dazed and bewildered, his chair now started moving as if nothing had happened. He got into his car and departed. Only after the physical form of the avatar left did the significance of this incident hit me like a thunderbolt. Because Namaste in India is generally done out of respect to greet others. And here was Bhagwan doing this to us. Maybe just so that the message gets imprinted permanently in our hearts and minds that there is God in everyone. Swami always saw each one of us as embodiments of Atma, as embodiments of divine love. And he was urging all of us through this final act to always remember this principle that the other person we are meeting or interacting is none else but God in a different form. Isn't that such a profound lesson? So in this line, Mahaganapati Namostute, we offer our salutations to the Divine Lord who has taught us to see Him in all and to respect every being. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Adi Pujita Gananatha.
The first word here is Adi, meaning first, and second word is Pujita, who is worshipped. That is the meaning. The third word is Gananatha, coming from Gana and Natha, where Natha means master. It is customary in Indian culture to commence any auspicious work by offering salutations to Lord Ganesha. Any bhajan session or classical music concert in India would commence with a song on Ganesha. It would be interesting to know that in certain parts of India, students learning percussion instruments begin their performance by playing to a beat, which is referred to as the Ganapati Talam, a special pattern of rhythm associated with Lord Ganesha. The reason Ganesha is first worshipped is because he is regarded as the remover of all obstacles. An interesting episode occurred in one of the Sai Bhajan centers in North India. As is the case in many centers, this one too had framed photographs of Lord Ganesha and other forms of Godhead besides Bhagwan Baba's own photo. It was a custom in the bhajan center to deck the photographs with a garland before every bhajan session. And this would start with garlanding the photo of Lord Ganesha first. On one occasion, this task of garlanding fell upon a newcomer who was unaware of this long tradition. So he started his work by placing the flowers on one of the other forms of God and at a later point of time decked the Ganesha photo with the garland. And just as he finished his work, he noticed that the garland around Ganesha photo had fallen off. Now he proceeded to put the garland around the Ganesha photo only to find it dropping again a few minutes later. Now this sequence of the garland falling off and the person restoring it to its place happened several times. Finally, one of the old timers suggested that this might be happening because he had not started the process of garlanding with the Ganesha photo. And so, they decided to start the process all over again. They removed the garland from all the photos and redid the garlanding, starting now from the Ganesha idol. And yes, the garland on Ganesha stayed firm in its place, and not only at that time but throughout the bhajan session. Well, this seemingly amusing episode really illustrates the profound significance of referring to Ganesha as the Adi Pujita, the one who is always worshipped first. Therefore, in this line, we hail the Lord who is always the one to whom adoration is offered in the first place. Let's now move on to the fifth line.
ಆನಂದದಾಯಕ ಗಣನಾಥ.
The first word here is Ananda, meaning bliss. And the second word is Dayaka, meaning one who bestows. Baba always teaches us that life is a mixture of pain and pleasure, where pleasure is an interval between two pains. Anybody aspiring for uninterrupted happiness must learn to rise above the dualities of pain and pleasure. The divine form of Lord Ganesha illustrates how we can achieve this mastery. Ganesha is commonly portrayed as having four hands. In one of his hands, he holds the pasha, or the rope. Now, this symbolizes Maya, or the illusion that we see with our senses. This illusion is not the ultimate reality, and this rope of illusion binds us to the world, and Ganesha holding the pasha in his grasp symbolizes his victory over Maya or illusion. In another hand, Ganesha holds an ankusha or the spear used by Mahouts to tame the elephant. Interestingly, the spear is held by the elephant-faced Ganesha himself. And this symbolizes self-mastery over one's lower instincts. The other hand of Ganesha holds a modaka, a sweet dish which represents ananda or bliss. Thus, Lord Ganesha, through his form, teaches us that we can attain lasting bliss by grasping the truth about the temporary nature of all physical creation and by mastering our lower instincts and tendencies. So in this line, Anandadayaka Gananatha, we adore the Lord who confers bliss on us by enabling us to rise above the dualities of life. We move on to the sixth line.
Prathama Vandana Pranavakara.
The first word here is Prathama, meaning first, and Vandana means who is prayed to. The other word is Pranavakara, coming from Pranava and Akara. Pranava refers to Om, the primordial sound from which all creation emerged. Modern science believes that the origin of our universe was marked by a loud explosion or sound referred to as the Big Bang. In Indian spiritual thought, this big sound is believed to be the sound Om. Thus, all of creation began with the resounding of Om. And we have seen in many places in this bhajan how Ganesha is referred to as the one who is worshipped first. Thus, it is only apt that he is also considered as the one with the form of Pranava or Om, the first among all sounds and the very basis of creation. This probably might be the significance behind commencing every bhajan session and every mantra that we chant with the syllable Om. So in this line, we hail Lord Ganesha as the one who is always worshipped first and who is the very embodiment of Om, the primordial sound of creation. Let's move on to the last line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Vigneshwara Vinayaka.
The first word here is Vigneshwara. Vigna means obstacle, Ishwara means Lord. Vigneshwara is the Lord who has mastery over all obstacles, both material and spiritual. He can remove all of them in a trice. The other word is Vinayaka, Vi meaning no, and Nayaka meaning leader or master. Ganesha is called Vinayaka because he has no master above him. During a discourse in 1997, Bhagwan emphasized that the Atma or the soul has no master, and thus Vinayaka, the one who has no master, exists within every being in the form of the Atma. Therefore, in this line, Vigneshwara Vinayaka, we pray to the Lord who is the ultimate master, the one who clears our way to success. So with that, dear listeners, we have understood the meaning of every word of this bhajan, at least to some extent. You will now hear the Mandir version of this bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashantinalayam Mandir.
ते नमोस्तुते महागणपते नमोस्तुते नमोस्तुते अति पूजिता गणनाथा अति पूजिता
Before you wind up this program, let's listen to what Bhagwan has instructed about bhajan singing from three alumni of his university, Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha. This is an excerpt of a presentation they made during the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013.
Swami's medium of instruction is discipline. That is the amount of importance Swami gives to this concept of discipline. The first element of discipline is practice, which we have already covered quite comprehensively. And so we will move on to some other aspects of discipline that a bhajan singer needs to have. And these are exactly what Swami has expected from each one of us over the years.
I think the second point we would go to is punctuality.
Ravi sir, the other day you were talking to us about, when we were talking about punctuality, remember that story you were telling us?
Yes. There was a time when I had to come from the hospital to the bhajan hall. Those are the days bhajan used to happen in the bhajan hall. And by the time I rushed in, Omkaram had started, just started. I came in through the back door of the bhajan hall. Omkaram started. I sat down near the back door, not venturing forward. Swami noticed me sitting there. The next evening when I came for bhajan, I was sitting in the front, I was on time. Swami came and asked me, "Yemi ninna raledu? You didn't come yesterday?" I said, "Swami, I was late." He said, "Aithe yemi, so what? Ravachu, so what, you could come." I looked at Swami and said, "No Swami, I was late." Then Swami kept staring at me and then said, I thought he had a small twinkle in his eye, and he said, "So what, you can still come in front." I looked at him for a few seconds. I said, "No Swami, I was late." So I sat back. Then the twinkle turned into a beaming smile, and he patted me and said, "Good boy." So that day I understood that, okay, we did the right thing, see, knowingly or unknowingly, but it was Swami's way of saying that, yes, I expect you to be punctual, on time. If you are not on time, you are not there. That is a simple message of this.
In fact, the other day, even our sir was saying that, just imagine, the devotees are seated, and the Lord is seated, and Swami says, why three omkars? He says, the first omkar is, I start from Parthi, the second omkar, I am on the way, and by the third omkar, I am seated over there. So imagine if you enter after the third omkar, or you enter in the second omkar along with Bhagwan. Very few people have had the opportunity to come along with Bhagwan. Okay, so let's not try to get onto that bus or train. Okay, let's try to be there before the first omkar. But just imagine you come along with Swami, that is after the third omkar. Just imagine there's already a relationship that is building between the devotee and the Lord, and here is one coming in between and sitting down. Such a distraction it is. Just imagine, so sir was saying, Swami said, a singer can either become a saint or a sinner. Okay. And he can become a sinner when he comes between the devotee and God, and in a negative way. And he can become a saint if he is able to take the devotee to the Lord. The same singer can become a sinner or a saint. Okay, so that is another thing about punctuality. And
physically not coming in between is, I think, a very big pointer to not coming in between the devotee and the Lord.
With regards to punctuality, who better than Swami?
Exactly.
How many times we have seen the moment Swami keeps his eye on the clock, bhajan hall clock, there were occasions when Swami was talking to the bhajan boys and he would not have noticed that it became 5:02 or 5:03, and then the next time he looks at the clock, it's 5, he says, "It's 5 o'clock, start bhajan. You know, why should he be so eager?
He is kala sorupa. Oftentimes he would be standing outside talking to boys, and exactly at 5 o'clock bhajans will start, and the moment bhajan start, he'll say, Time, I have to go. Why does Swami have to do that? See, that is the importance that even Swami gave to adhering the
time. How about the Akhanda Bhajan?
The Akhanda Bhajan, yeah, I was reminded of this. Swami one day came in, 6 o'clock Akhanda Bhajan should start, global Akhanda Bhajan. 5:25 Swami walks into Bhajan hall, and he comes and he looks at the time, and he asks our sir, you know, how much more time? So he says, Swami, 35 more minutes.
Oh.
And then Swami starts to chat with all of us, and he's standing over there, from where are you, this, that, and all. Again, after 10 minutes, he looks. The time is not moved. It's not come closer to 6. So he's looking and says, how much more time? So he said, Swami, it's 20 minutes at this. Then he calls someone from ladies' side and he starts talking to them. They also get those rare opportunities. And then after that, he looks at the time and it's still about 10 more minutes to go. And then Swami goes inside the interview room. Comes back within 2-3 minutes and comes back, and then still it is not 6 o'clock. So he's sitting over there, silently sitting for it to become 6. Just imagine how the clock must be feeling. I wish I can run faster. The Lord is waiting for me. Okay. Yes. And finally, no, that is the enthusiasm of the Lord. Finally, 5 more minutes are there. He says, how much more time? I mean, 5 minutes. Start, no problem. You know, that is the enthusiasm of the Lord to listen to bhajans. But even he adheres to time. That is the amount of respect this Lord gave.
He could have started at 5:30 also. He waited as close to 6 as possible.
Yes.
So that was an excerpt from the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. And with that, we've reached the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you enjoyed it. As always, please feel free to share your feedback you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. As always, we offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan.
And with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. And after this program is over, I will be back and we will talk some more, we'll dwell some more on bhajan singing, on the why and how of bhajan singing and Swami's instructions and directions over the years on this sacred sadhana as the Akhanda Bhajan is around the corner. So more bhajan singing and more nuances about bhajan singing in 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam with Prem and Sai Prakash. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.